The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest Gemini Syndrome. I also cover top movies, my week 13 NFL picks, George Jones tribute, poopery, and auctioning off virginity. All this and more on Revelator.
Delivering the goods at every frickin' turn.
Welcome to Revelator. My name is Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me. As always, I got a great show for you this evening. Gemini Syndrome, a band that's been, just released their debut album this year on the show. They are actually number one. If you listen to Sirius Satellite Radio, they are number one on Octane right now. We've got the lead singer, Aaron, tonight on the broadcast, so I'm very happy to have those guys aboard. But I gotta start with an interesting story. You're like, oh boy, here we go. No, this is actually for a good cause. Slash and the Sweet Relief Music Fund. Okay, so bear with me. The dirty, disgusting stuff comes much later. Okay. You're like, wait, didn't he say poopery at the beginning? Yeah, just stick around for that. You definitely want to get a whiff of it, no doubt. The Sweet Relief Music Fund and Slash. Now, if you're not familiar with the Sweet Relief Music Fund, this is kind of a quick synopsis of what it's all about. It was funded in 1994, and basically it provides assistance to all musicians, career musicians, who are struggling to make ends meet, whether facing disability, age-related problems, grant recipients, different recording artists, songwriters, composers, session musicians. This is support all across the country. It takes place in all different genres of music: pop, rock, jazz, classic, heavy metal, country, blues, reggae, hip hop, and all styles in between. The Sweet Relief has served the music community by helping musicians with medical and living expenses, including prescription drugs, medical treatment, operative procedures, housing, food costs, utilities, and other basic necessities as well. Now, Slash, obviously a member of this particular organization, the Sweet Relief Music Fund, is donating a signature signed Gibson Les Paul guitar worth approximately about $5,000. The auction ends on December 11th. Right now, the current bid is at just a shade over $3,800. Now, Slash, what can you say? I mean, Slash is, Grammy award winning. He's been nominated 7 different times. He's sold over 100 million albums worldwide. The accomplishments go on and on and on. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, was by Time Magazine, was named number 2 best all-time electric guitar players, only behind Jimi Hendrix. Now, also a quick note about Slash as well. Him and Miles Kennedy have been working together. They're working on new material as well, set to be released in 2014. So Slash seems like a really cool dude. And the fact that he's always doing things like this, obviously, is a testament to his, his staple in the music community. So, if you get $5,000, someone who's a huge Slash fan, you have until December 11th to go out and bid on that guitar. And it's also, helping a good cause and a good charity, helping out musicians in need. And speaking of musicians and tribute concerts and doing good things, this past Friday in Nashville, unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend this. And after reading this particular article, I'm really bummed that I wasn't able to go. But the George Jones tribute show was this past Friday night at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. First up was Big and Rich. You're like, oh, you really want to go to the George tribute? Yes. The list of quality musicians is abound here. I'm not even going to go through all of them. But Big and Rich opened up the show covering George Jones' Love Bug. Also, Kid Rock was in performance covering White Lightning. Also, Trisha Yearwood and Garth Brooks put on a duet, which was originally done by Tammy Wynette and George Jones. Just in time for the holidays, Garth Brooks also has a box set coming out on Black Friday. Go figure. Nice timing, Garth. But really cool dude to what he did here for the community in Nashville and the flood stuff. Yeah, nothing bad to say about that guy. It's still one of the best rock and roll shows I've seen in a long time. And other artists on hand were the Oak Ridge Boys, Blake Shelton, Miranda Lambert. Megadeth was also even there as well. Over 40 songs were played a tribute of George Jones, including over 100 performers. And of course, you had the powerhouses of country music: Alan Jackson, George Strait, Vince Gill, Megadeth, Kid Rock. I mean, Big and Rich, and everyone in between, you know, over 100 different performers, even local performers in the Nashville area as well were a part of it. So really, really awesome cause. I mean, like I said, you know, over 40 songs. I just know how many songs George Jones really had over his career. You know, obviously passed away this past summer. Over 100 different performers, again, over 40 songs. Really, really cool stuff. And moving on to a story that we did, actually, I guess about a year or so ago now. And for those of you who've been listening to the show for a while, you've heard this story about the girl from Brazil who tried to auction off her virginity and was almost successful. She actually auctioned it off back in October of 2012. She had an offer of $780,000 from some guy in Japan. Obviously, it never happened. She wasn't able to get plugged, I guess, for it. So, they couldn't make it happen. So what does she do? She's back at it again, selling her virginity. Not doing as well this time around. She said she was hoping to get $1.5 million. She's only about 10, 12 days left on the bid, and right now she's just over $150,000. The bid does end on December 12th. And just like the slash auction, I mean, if you have a friend who's looking to land himself inside a nice Brazilian beauty, well, there you go. You might as well pony up and put some cash on it, right? Now you're talking a considerable amount of money there, you know, maybe $200,000-$300,000. And if you got that kind of money and you want to do that for your friend, you're one heck of a friend, I tell you that. But now here comes the classy stuff here. Poopery. Some of you may have probably seen this on YouTube and seen it on, you know, Facebook, and it's been kind of everywhere, I guess. And if you haven't, well, you're in for a treat. Poopery. I guess it's kind of for the ladies, right? I guess it's not really just for the ladies, I guess it's for everybody. It's kind of geared towards women, though, who maybe, ashamed for, taking a number two at their boyfriend's house, or, you know, you want to be the party pooper, so to speak. We actually have the ad here. Take a listen to this.
You would not believe the mother loader I just dropped. And that's how I like to keep it, leaving not a trace that I was ever here, let alone that I just birthed a creamy behemoth from my cavernous bowels. Nothing is worse than stinking up the shared toilet at work, or the toilet at a party, or your lover's apartment. Of course, flushing removes the graphic evidence. Maybe two or three flushes if your skid marks are as tenacious as mine. But what can be done of that subtle scent of a 300-cow dairy farm? Aerosol air fresheners aren't the most effective option, or the healthiest. Trying to mask the stench, giving you a nice blend of ChemLab carnations with just a touch of feces. So, how do you make the world believe your poop doesn't stink? Or in fact, that you never poop at all? Poopery. Poopery is the before-you-go toilet spray that has proven to trap those embarrassing odors at the source and save relationships. Simply spritz poopery in the bowl to create a film on the water's surface that actually traps the odours in their porcelain prison. And when your little astronauts splash down and make contact with the film, they release poopery's pleasant aromas so all those around you can smell as a refreshing bouquet of essential oils. Yes, it is a real product. And yes, it really works. We've sold over 4 million bottles. On Amazon alone, there are over 1,000 reviews rating it 4.8 of 5 stars. That's a better Amazon rating than the iPhone 5. If it doesn't completely stop your stench from spreading, send it back for a full refund. Our unconditional stink-free guarantee. If your poo stinks, click here to get your poopery today at poopery.com. So whether you need to pinch a loaf at work, cut a rope at a party, or lay a brick at your boyfriend's, your days of embarrassing smells or prairie dogging it are over. Poopery. Our business is to make it smell like your business never even happened.
If you're prairie dogging it, if you're out there prairie dogging it, ladies, get yourself some poopery. No one on their website had to check this out. And I like that they have different fragrances and scents. I really dig that. But also, they have different levels of packages, of course. Now, they have the just get-to-know-your-poo package, which is $25. And then they also have the tried-and-true poo for $44.95. And then, I like the tried and true poo, $44.95. It also comes with all these different fragrances. If you go tried and true and you know your poo, you can get wildflower, lemongrass, grapefruit. These are my two favorites right here, Mike, and you'll like these ones. spicy orange, and spearmint. Now, I think if you're going to beat the creamy behemoth, you probably don't want spicy orange, right? I'm just taking a wild stab at this here.
Yes, actually, I would.
I mean, spearmint. I'm sorry. I want my gum to be spearmint. Most of the time, I don't want my my crap to smell like spearmint. I don't want to take a crap and go. Ah,
Do they have like pizza? Every time I drop a loaf off, you know what I mean? Like dropping the kids off the pool, it literally just smells like a Papa John's or a Pizza Hut in my bathroom.
Right. I don't know. You get like the pepperoni smell or like, maybe they have like the, the pizza shop smell. I like that. That's a good one, man.
You know what, though? Here's one thing you get to consider.
Fresh cut grass smell, maybe?
You know, there's certain things, right? You always have that. What is it? Your olfactory is associated with memories. So every time you smell pizza when you walk into a pizza shop, you're going to be thinking about the loaf you just dropped. Right. You just pinched off, right? Yeah. So you have to pick your sense. Very orange. Yeah. I never ate a spicy orange before. I think that's the one that's going to polish off my turd smell for me. Right.
That's classic. Now, these two stories right here actually go together. I found about this story, and it's kind of fitting that I've put the two together. These idiots, and I use idiots in the nicest way I can, which basically calling them idiots. But these guys steal a credit card and decide, you know what? We're going to go buy some food. Sure, go buy some food. No, these guys, these idiots buy $120 worth of fast food with a stolen credit card and then post a picture of themselves with all the fast food on their Instagram account. Turns out that when this lady found her credit card statement, because obviously she realized her card was missing, she went online and was seeing if there's any charges. So she gets on, sees the charges, calls the police. Then the police actually go to this fast food place, and the lady run the drive through actually recognized one of the guys who came through in this town, and obviously they got busted. And the Instagram account helped, just track down their location. But I mean, $120 worth of fast food. I mean, first off, they probably should have picked up a 4-pack of Charmin, and they definitely going to need some poopery, because this is exactly what they're going to be doing. Man, how much fast food did you guys have? $120 worth? You're gonna need the tried and true poo package for $44.95. You better pick that up too, so I'm not sure spicy orange is gonna cover up this. Oh, jeez. Oh man. Yeah. $120 worth of fast food with a bunch of idiots. And then post it on Instagram. Freaking classic. Ah. Hopefully they're not posting the aftermath on Instagram. Hey, hey, hey. But, we're keeping with the true classy nature here this evening. Man, these stories really crack me up. Here's a story about a guy hanging out at the DMV. Edward Michael Alvin, 34, was arrested last week after an off-duty police officer caught him allegedly masturbating at the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. Where else? In West Palm Beach, Florida. The Sun Sentinel reported that Alvin began masturbating in the lobby of the DMV on the Friday afternoon. The off-duty police officer told Alvin to stop, but the suspect ignored him and was placed under arrest and was charged with indecent exposure. I don't know what you would find attractive at the DMV. How about the fact that this guy has three freaking first names? Edward Michael Alvin. I guess, if you're at the DMV and then he's looking at it, he's like, God, I have three first names. He's 34. Things are not going good for him. He probably did one of these in the morning, and he's just, he didn't have any poopery. It's just barreling over. He's like, shit, I need to rub one out right now before I get in line. They told me to take a number, but before I take a number, I got to do this first. Unbelievable. Speaking of people masturbating, right? There's another interesting. I don't know if it's interesting. Interesting is lack of a better word here. A guy at Walmart was caught on video rubbing one out. A lady was actually chasing him, going, "That guy was rubbing it out. That guy was jerking off." How embarrassing! I mean, I don't know what you find attractive at Walmart. I mean, sure. I mean, maybe you're turned on by the wide variety of products and services that they have. I don't know. I mean, typically the Walmart greeters are pretty attractive. Maybe it was the 400-pound lady is. wearing spandex strolling up and down the frozen food section? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Let me go browse the raw meat section. Maybe he was excited about their Black Friday turkey deals. I don't know. I mean, prices on pork? I don't know. But he's jerking off at Walmart, man. You got a guy with three first names, Edward Michael Alvin. Three first names, jerking off the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles. And you got another guy who is just at, you know, Walmart, just rubbing one out. You want to talk about rolling it back, man. That's definitely erasing the Rolodex of a different style right there. But I tell you what, man, let's take a look at our top movies at the box office this week. Starting with number 10, we'll work our way up. Dallas Buyers Club at $2.6 million. 12 Years a Slave at $2.8 million. The movie Gravity, which has made over $245 million this past weekend, $3.2 million. Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, $3.4 million. Last Vegas at $4.3 million. The movie Freebirds at $5.3 million. Delivery Man, $7.9 million. The Best Man Holiday, 12.4. Thor, Dark World at $14 million. And its 3 weeks at the box office has made $167 million. And The Hunger Games, check this one out here. Opening weekend for The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, $158 million in an opening weekend. Unbelievable. Let's cut to the chase. Let's get our big-time guest on tonight. That is Aaron from Gemini Center. Before that, I tell you what. Ah, big time teaser. Let's take a listen off their debut album titled Lux. This is Basement, Gemini Syndrome here on Revelator.
Color coded blasphemy. This really strange anatomy. Is this really my life? Something isn't right. The ambiguity. This whole damn conspiracy playing out in my head. Something isn't right. I never wanted this. I never asked for it. This is what you gave me. I never wanted this. I never asked for it. Stranger than massacre, this homicidal afterbirth. I am not a stranger to living with the anger. I don't need a miracle, I just need a place to go. Send me to the angels and tell God I said goodbye. I never wanted this. I never asked for it. This is what
is Basement, the new single by Gemini Syndrome off their debut album Lux. I'm joined now by the lead singer of the band, Aaron. Aaron, hey man, again, thank you for taking the time out. How the heck is the road treating you, man?
First of all, it's my pleasure, and the road's been great, man. We've had a couple weeks to come home and kind of decompress, but heading right back out in about a week.
So yeah, I mean, I know we talked a little bit. You know, you guys were out with Five Finger Death Punch. And I know you guys played some shows with Nonpoint kind of in the middle of the year through spring and summer, another band we've had on. Elias and Rob and those guys are really cool. So obviously pretty kick-ass to see those guys play every night, I'm sure, man.
Yeah, man, we were out with them in Device, and that was a killer tour. We've had a lot of good tours this year.
Very, very cool, man. Now, a lot of things I want to talk to you about tonight, man. I guess we'll start with the track we just heard, Basement, and also the video for Basement as well, which is a really cool video. Talk to me about the concept of the video and how much input did you guys really have in it?
I'd say we had quite a bit. The concept was you have a girl who has albinism. The song is about me coping with being a kid and having albums and trying to find my identity and place in the world, if you will. And so she kind of plays me, I guess, in a sense. And so she's in a room in the basement, so to say, and she's flipping over tarot cards or sin cards with the different logos of the songs and kind of going through the emotions attached to those songs. Yeah, so she's flipping over pleasure and pain, and she goes through those two experiences, and then, you know, as the story progresses, she kind of just experiences really what the record is about, is the emotional journey of life.
Very cool, man. Now, I encourage everyone to go out and obviously check the video out on your guys' website and go get the freaking album, for Christ's sakes. Go on iTunes and buy it. It's a really kick-ass CD, man, the album Lux. Now, talk to you, and you mentioned the symbols, and I wanted to kind of bring this up. The artwork on the album is freaking fabulous, man. It really is. Page after page of just extraordinary illustrations. Is that like a friend of yours, or did the record company kind of say, hey, we got someone that wants to do this, or was it kind of maybe a combination of the two and how you guys want to go about the artwork?
That was a guy we found named Cameron Gray, and his art is just incredibly intricate and unique. He's got a very distinct style. And we wanted to have another kind of tarot card thing for each song. And we wanted his spin on it. He started passing ideas back and forth with us about each song and really took the time to go in depth with each meaning of each tune, you know, and came back with a picture or a card for each one.
But I think it definitely is a cool look, man. And I think in a day and age where the music industry is, you know, everything is, you know, kind of digital, you know, it's nice, you know, when you go buy an album, it's got to have something unique about it. I think your guys' debut album definitely has that, along obviously with kick-ass music, but the illustrations and just it's kind of like an old school kind of feel. You're like, oh man, this artwork's amazing. So so kudos to you know, finding that guy and his image is great, man. I dig it.
Thanks, man. You know, that was a goal of ours, is going, you know, in that old school direction of having, you know, something worth buying physically. You know, it's all great to get music digitally. You know, we all use our iPods and whatnot, and that's the world we live in. But there's something to be said, I think, about having something in your hand to hold, you know, and having something visual to go along with the music that you're listening to.
No, I 100% agree, man. And again, I encourage everyone to go out and definitely pick up a copy at, you know, if you can find a record store, you go out and buy that damn thing. But I'm kind of curious about your guys' the origins of the band, you know, and how you guys came up with the name. You know, can you talk to me about how you guys kind of found one another and got started?
We found each other in a kind of a perfect storm. We were all looking for a project that we could dive into 100%. And it all just kind of happened really quickly at the same time, almost in a divine fashion, if you will. But the name itself, Gemini, is the twins of the zodiac, which represents duality. And a syndrome is a collection of traits or qualities. So we were looking at that as the duality of life, and positive and negative and good and bad and whatnot, and balancing those two, trying to bring both sides together.
Very, very cool, man. Now, obviously, you know, very deep meaning. Did you guys ever have any other names or juggle around any other names that maybe you had thought about or, you know, almost went with it and decided not to?
No, that was the winner right off the bat.
Right on, very cool. You know, sometimes, you know, we get, you know, bands on there like, yeah, we had, you know, two or three other names, and, you know, it was, yeah, I don't know, Thunderlips or whatever, you know, some crazy name, you know, and you're like, yeah, you guys made a nice decision not going with that one, you know. But I'm curious about your musical influences, man. I think when people hear the tracks, more tracks tonight, I think it's kind of evident, but I'm kind of curious about your early music influences, whether it be your parents or in school or something. Is there something that, you know, was kind of like a defining moment for you as a vocalist musically?
My mom got me into music when I was very, very young. I just had a natural desire to, I was always singing, and I saw a piano and wanted to play it, so I was in lessons for that when I was really young. My mom is a vocalist as well. She sings jazz and big band and gospel. So she got me into that kind of stuff when I was really young, and then into choirs and whatnot later. And did that until I was about, you know, probably an early teenager, and then started discovering more of the rock music. Even at that time, I mean, when you're that young, you know, you don't get exposed to too much of your own volition. So, I mean, I was hearing pop music and whatnot. But my sister is a little older than me, too. My first two CDs I got from her that I stole was Stone Temple Pilots and Dr. Dre.
Nice.
So that was
nice
kind of my initiation into popular culture music, you know.
Right. That's definitely a nice mix, man. Dr. Dre and STP, man.
The Chronic and Core, man. How about it?
Right. Core, it's crazy, man. My producer, we were just talking, you know, the album Core is over 20 years old, which makes us feel really old, but unbelievable. That album is, you know, still to this day, like when you hear Dead and Bloated or anything off that album, you know, you're like, ah, oh, man, this song is still just rocks, you know, even though the stations still play it. And it's hard to believe that album is over 20 years old.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I mean,
just made me feel old too. So,
right, yeah, there you go.
I'm with you, man.
Right on, man. Yeah, I mean, you know, some of those albums you look, you know, like, you know, the old Alice in Chains, Nirvana, obviously, and, you know, STP, those albums just, you know, it's hard to believe how timeless they really are. And then you look back and you're like, gosh, that album is, you know, 20 years old, 15 years old, you know. So I'll tell you what, man, let's take a quick break here. I want to talk more about touring and obviously the album and stuff too. But the next song we've got is Pleasure and Pain, which is another great track off the CD Lux, which is your debut album. What can you tell me about this track, man?
We wanted a heavy, heavy hitter. It's probably the heaviest tune on the song, and really kind of captures, I think, the meaning of the name, even having duality, you know, and going through both sides of life, the good and the bad, and the pleasure and pain, and the lyric and the chorus, we're only one and the same in pleasure and pain. It's kind of a dialogue about how everybody experiences the same thing in different ways throughout their lives, you know, kind of trying to bind us together, show that universality of consciousness and experience of life.
Very cool, man. We'll tell you what, Aaron, we'll take a quick break. This is Pleasure and Pain, Gemini Syndrome here on Revelator. Gemini Syndrome here on Revelator. That is Pleasure and Pain off the new album Lux. I'm joined now by the lead singer Aaron from the band Gemini Syndrome. Hey man, I really dig that track, and it definitely is the heaviest track on the album. Now, I think a lot of people may, you guys have a really diverse collection of music on this album, which I really dig. Talk to me about the process in recording when you guys went in. Did you guys already kind of have a bunch of things set aside? Like, hey, this is what we want to accomplish. This is what we want to do on this album for our debut album. And went in the studio and just kind of knocked it out? Or was it kind of an organic where you just kind of tinkered and, you know, changed this and arrangement here? Or, you know, what was the first process like for you guys?
It was a little bit of both. We definitely had some stuff that we were definitely happy with. Everything got toyed with a little bit in the studio. And we wrote some stuff in the studio as well. So it was kind of a back and forth between that. But we wanted to have a good mixture of music. We wanted to have a representation that would allow us in the future to do whatever we wanted. We didn't want to get labeled as any particular type of band. We didn't want to be called a metal band. We didn't want to be called just an alternative band, just a rock band. You know, we wanted people to be kind of confused, I guess, by it. But also run the gamut of, you know, music in general, of sonic information, and have people have an experience where it wasn't just the same song 12 times on a record, you know?
Right. Well, I think you definitely accomplished that, man. And, obviously, hitting the road, you know, playing with Nonpoint and Device. You had a nice run with Five Finger Death Punch this fall. And kind of closing out the year, with a band that I really love, too, and a band we've had on the show, which is Mindset Evolution. Rob and those guys, really cool dudes. I wish you guys were coming to Nashville to play a show, man. I'd like to see you guys and Mindset live, man. That's going to be a good time. You guys will be on the road, what, for about 10, 15 shows, something like that?
Something like that, about 2 weeks, yeah.
Have you had a chance to meet those guys at all, or is this be your kind of first time meeting?
I have not.
Right. I mean, well, just talking with you and talking with Rob, I think you guys are getting along great, man. You're really laid back dudes. So again, really nice matching for you guys. I think. I mean, is that kind of different? You know, when you're on the road, like you say, you know, with Nonpoint and Five Finger Death Punch, how much interaction do you get with those type of bands? Do they offer any advice or encouragement or anything, or you know, they just kind of screw with you while you're on tour? How's that typically go for you guys?
We had really great relationships with everybody we toured with really this year. It's kind of funny, speaking of Rob from Nonpoint, there was a truck stop we stopped at on the Five Finger run getting ready to go into load-in for our show, and they were playing the next town over. We ran into them. That was just kind of bizarre.
Nice.
But yeah, you know, those guys are all schooled, seasoned people. You know, they've been doing it for a long time. They definitely offer encouragement and advice. And, you know, Five Finger pranked us on the last night. So there was definitely some joking going on, some just camaraderie and friendship, man. You know, keep in touch with all those guys, you know, on some level after the fact. So.
Right on. Very cool. What's the prank that Five Finger played on you guys, if you don't mind me asking?
They came out during Stardust. It was Chris and Jeremy came out in headbands and these just ridiculous suits with jars of glitter, and were dancing around the stage trying to make us lose our complete. It was a ridiculous, ridiculous thing. Right. It was hard not to totally crack up while I was trying to do my job, but it was pretty funny. Chris gave me a heads up. He warned me he was going to do it. He didn't tell me what he was going to do, but like, I'm old school, man. It's the last day of the tour. I got to prank it. Okay.
Awesome. Well, cool, man. I'm glad that. Right on. That's awesome. And it's always good to hear that, you know, you guys are out there and obviously, you know, having fun, enjoying it. And that's what it's all about. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, some people take it too serious. It's important, obviously, to take it serious to a certain extent, but also, you know, enjoy the time while you're on the road and, you know, and cherish it, which I think obviously you guys are doing, which is really cool. I got to ask, man, what's the first concert you ever went to, man?
Ever in my life?
Yes.
Was Michael W. Smith. It was a Christian rock dude. I was like probably 10. I can't honestly recall what the first like rock show I went to was, because I went to so many. Like once I started going to shows, I just
went to a lot of them. I saw Pantera, I saw Typo Negative, I saw Tool, I saw Incubus, yeah, on and on and on. Those were some of the first ones I ever went to, for sure.
Right on. I got to ask, man, before you got into the music, what was the worst day job you ever had?
Telemarketing.
What did you, what kind of telemarketing did you do, man?
I was selling wedding DJs to people who were engaged people. So I would get a list somehow and call like brides and grooms and try to get them to pick our DJ service.
No, I've done some telemarketing.
I was there probably about 2 weeks.
Nice. Do you can you give us a little sample right now? Can you give us the
that was so long ago. I don't even remember. I was a kid, man. I don't even remember what the script was.
Classic, man. Well, Aaron, it's been a pleasure talking with you, man. If people were interested in finding out more about what you guys are up to and future plans as well, where can they find information about Gemini Syndrome, man?
Well, you can go to GeminiSyndrome.com, and we have links to every social media that we're involved in, which is, you know, pretty much all of them. And we try to make it as simple as possible. If you go to Facebook, it's just under Gemini Syndrome. If you go to Twitter, it's under Gemini Syndrome. If you go to Instagram, it's under Gemini Syndrome. So, but you can get links to all those through our website.
Very cool. And we'll have links to all those on our website as well. And we close out tonight, Aaron, with the song Stardust. I don't have any jars of glitter or anything for you, but anything you wanted to anything you want to say to set this song up as we close out, man?
About the song itself?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tune about experiences I had when I was younger. You know, friends that I still have and friends that I don't anymore, but just kind of a reflection of, in my head, thinking about the old days and things that I did when I was younger. Some were good, some were bad. And, ultimately they got me where I am, you know. It's kind of like a thank you in a way to those people and those experiences.
Very cool. Right on, man. Well, hey, Aaron, it's a pleasure talking with you, man. You seem like a really humble dude, and definitely, you know, we'll try to keep in touch. We'll push the show as best we can here, and best luck on the road, man. Tell Rob and the guys from Mindset Evolution we said hey, and we close out tonight with Stardust by Gemini Syndrome.
We left the traces of the sins we from the stardust pouring from your eyes. It's no mistake, you are perfect, you are perfect in my mind. Look at the way.
Gemini Syndrome here on Revelator. That is the song Stardust. Again, thanks to Aaron from Gemini Syndrome for coming on the show. Pleasure speaking with him. And also, I really dig all three tracks. Again, go out and grab the album Lux. Again, the artwork, as I said during the interview, is absolutely outstanding as well. For more information about Gemini Syndrome and this particular episode of Revelator number 37, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. You can also find me, Ryan_unsigned, on Twitter. And check us out on Facebook as well. It's facebook.com/omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. And let's take a look. Week 13 of the NFL. It's getting down nitty gritty. How bad is the AFC? You got about five or six teams at 5-6, still in the wild card hunt. Thanksgiving, a bunch of games going on. You have the Lions, Packers. Two teams struggling right now for different reasons, but I'm going to say the Lions win here at home on Thanksgiving. They need a win. They've lost two in a row now. I expect the Lions to play a lot better than they have in the last couple weeks. The Raiders and the Cowboys, the afternoon game on Thanksgiving. I'm going to take the Cowboys at home. The Raiders, tough loss last week against Tennessee at home, heading on the road in a short week, playing a pretty good Dallas team. Even though defensively I don't think they're very good, but Dallas can score points. I'm taking Dallas at home. The Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Baltimore Ravens. This is a primetime matchup. Look, these teams are not as good as they have been in the past, but I expect this to be a hard-hitting affair, as it always is. This is a real rivalry here. The old Browns versus the Steelers. I'm taking the old Browns at home in Baltimore. The Dolphins heading to New York take on the Jets. I'm going to take the Dolphins this one. They've been reeling, but I think they bounce back this week against the Jets team that's really struggling for answers. The Arizona Cardinals, a team that's really, really impressing me, taking on the Philadelphia Eagles at home, coming out of bye week. It's basically one of the best rushing offenses against one of the best run defenses. I really like Nick Foles. I like what Chip Kelly's doing there. They're winning some games. I think they put some pressure on the Dallas Cowboys to win. I think the Eagles at home over the Cardinals in a squeaker. If they win, it's going to be close. The New England Patriots, talk about a comeback victory the other night. 24 points down at halftime and come back and win that game against Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. Unbelievable. Taking them, taking over the Houston Texans, who have just completely fallen apart. Patriots, I think, win big against Houston. The Bears heading to Minnesota. Look, Minnesota is just not very good. Anything outside of Adrian Peterson, they have issues. I'm taking the Bears, who have struggled recently. I'm taking the Bears in this one. The Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Cleveland Browns. What a freaking embarrassment they are. My gosh, they've been blown out. Since the Joe Hayden interception there 2 weeks ago in Cincinnati after the first quarter in Cincinnati, they've been outscored 68-13. Ouch. Titans taking on the Colts. Look, the Colts have struggled mightily, but I expect them to win at home against the Titans. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading to Carolina, one of the hottest teams in football right now. I'm taking the Carolina Panthers on that one. The Rams taking on the 49ers. This is going to be that's going to be a heck of a game. That could be the game of the week. I'm taking the 49ers at home. The Falcons heading to Buffalo. As bad as the Falcons have been this year, I think they could beat Buffalo even on the road. The Denver Broncos heading to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. I think that the Chiefs are coming back down to earth. I think they're a good football team. I think Denver is going to be in a bad mood and wins this game. The Bengals coming out of a bye week heading all the way out to San Diego. I like the way the Chargers are playing football, and I think the Chargers actually do get that wild card spot in the AFC. I like them at home over the Bengals. The New York football Giants taking on the Washington Redskins, who are an absolute disaster right now on a lot of different levels. Coaching, front office, RG3, the whole thing is a freaking mess right now. And taking on the Giants, getting beat by the Giants, a division rival, will not help things at all. and the Monday night game, which is another game that's going to be very, very exciting. You have the New Orleans Saints taking on the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. Mike Holmgren will probably eat some ribs there, I would assume. Maybe have a cocktail or two. But with that being said, there's some suspensions going on in Seattle with guys substance abuse issues. Taking on New Orleans when you don't have your best corners and safeties in the game, not a recipe for success. I'm taking the Saints in that game on Monday night, which should be a good one, no doubt. Those are your Week 13 NFL Pigskin Picks. My name is Ryan. Mike, wonderful job as always. Thanks to Aaron from Gemini Syndrome. Next week, we have Corey from Digital Collapse, so definitely check that out as well. Seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 37, Take a Number, Make a Wager. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.